In Alamosa. We're glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
He is risen. Amen. Thanks for joining us for our service today. We're blessed to be together on this Easter morning, celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We welcome those who are tuned in on the radio this morning as well. Wish you the Lord's blessing on this happy Easter. In life, we have to say yes sometimes, but sometimes we also have to say no. What we find today is that the Lord is the same, and Easter is his yes. We'll talk more about and hear more about that in our service this morning, and we're glad that you made it in for our service. We do invite you now to turn over on page one there to our hymn of invocation. That's 463 in your hymnal. Christ the Lord is risen today. Alleluia. And if you would please rise before we sing the hymn and turn and face the cross for our procession. quick note, I forgot when I welcomed you that in our service today, we're switching two hymns for each other. So if you turn over with me in your bulletin real quick to page 13, where our communion hymns are, our first distribution hymn, hymn 457, Jesus Christ is Risen Today, that will be our closing hymn. And our closing hymn will go right there in that slot. So now it's 486, Christ had been not been raised. If Christ had not been raised, will be the hymn, the first distribution hymn. It's correct on the board up here. We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism, you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We continue with the introit this morning from the book of Exodus, chapter 15. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. Your right hand, O Lord, glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. You have led in your steadfast love the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them by your strength to your holy abode. You will bring them in and plant them on your own mountain, the place, O Lord, which you have made for your abode, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. The Lord will reign forever and ever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. We sing the Kyrie together. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. To God I be glory. Thank you. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, the Father, through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, you have overcome death and opened the gate of everlasting life to us. Grant that we, who celebrate with joy the day of our Lord's resurrection, may be raised from the death of sin by your life-giving Spirit. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our Old Testament reading for this, our Easter Day service, comes from the prophet Isaiah in the 65th chapter, a beautiful passage of Scripture that reminds us of the new things that God has done in Christ and plans to fulfill on the last day and afterwards. We begin in verse 17 of Isaiah 65. Behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. And the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem to be a joy and her people to be a gladness. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. No more shall be heard in it the sound of weeping and the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not fill out his days. For the young man shall die 100 years old, and the sinner 100 years old shall be accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be. And my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be the offspring of the blessed of the Lord and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall graze together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. And dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. We continue with our epistle lesson from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If in this life only we have hoped in Christ, then we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. This is the word of the Lord. We invite the congregation to please stand if you're able and turn and face the cross as we sing our Alleluia verse and have the reading of the Holy Gospel.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
On the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise?" And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to be an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
We sing stanzas 1, 3, and 5 of hymn 474, Alleluia, Jesus is Risen. Join us in confessing our faith together this morning to the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Would you join us in singing our hymn of the day today? It's hymn 477, Alleluia, Alleluia, Hearts to Heaven. Amen. Please be seated. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Have you ever thought about Easter as God's yes? But that's exactly what it is. It's his yes to our hope, to our salvation, to our eternal life. It's his yes to our peace and to our forgiveness, not only from him, but also for one another. It's his yes to us going to heaven, and his yes to our undeserved and unearned righteousness, which he gives to us in Christ Jesus. On Easter, all our prayers are answered. Need anything? Healing, anything at all. His answer this morning is yes. It's yes. On that glorious day when Jesus rises triumphant from the grave and defeats sin, death, and the devil and won the victory for you and for me. But with every yes answer, isn't it true that there's also always a corresponding no? When we say to one thing yes, do we realize that we're also saying no to something else? And this is a key thing to learn in life. Because in our lifetime, our energy and our time are both limited commodities. Sometimes yes is the right answer. But sometimes we need to say no to the new request on our time and our energy. And that's in order to maintain the yes answer to the things we're already doing and the ways that we're already serving Christ, our previous commitments. Easter is God's yes . It's his yes. To you. To me. Which begs the question then, if every yes has a corresponding no, what's God saying no to when he says yes to you and me on Easter? Well, that was Good Friday. He chooses to deny himself. He dies on the cross for us. He sends his only begotten Son into the world that whoever should believe in him will not perish but have eternal life. He takes on human flesh, says no to his comfort, no to his peace, and no to his joy. He literally says no to Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus goes to the cross then to save us. Even God's yes on Easter has a cost. And if you were here on Good Friday, you saw what a cost it was. And in life, we can so easily get caught up saying yes to things that we should say no to. And also the reverse, we get caught saying no to the things we should say yes to. Life in the sinful world is quite confusing. So I ask you this morning on Easter, on the morning when God's answer to you is yes, what's your answer to him? Will you live your life for his purpose? Will I? Will you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself? Will you do unto others as Jesus teaches us, like you'd have them do unto you? And if we say no to God in this, then we have to ask the question, don't we? Who are we saying yes to then? Will you forgive? For many of us carry the burden of a grudge in our hearts all the time. And God teaches us that we ought to forgive, but will we? Think of it this way. The Apostle John tells us in the first epistle that he writes, he says, we love him because he first loved us. We love him because he first loved us. We can get the motivation straight that way. For some reason, I think we believe that if we say yes to those questions that we asked moments ago, that that's going to mean a no to us. But the reality of the situation is that it's not that way. A yes to God is a yes to us, to ourselves. Jesus puts it this way. He says this about saying no to sin. He says, great is your reward in heaven. And this is where it gets confusing, because we start looking for our reward now. And we say, hey, I deserve it, actually. You better give it to me or I'm not going to believe in you. Or I'll hold a grudge against you if I don't get what I want. Us serving God and Him alone is the same concept. We love Him because He first loved us. If we're answering yes to God, then that's Easter at work inside of us. That's what's really going on. But there's even a more neighborly, sort of practical way to God's yes. Have you ever heard of what's known as people pleasing? Saying yes to people and their requests, even when you don't really feel like you can have the time or the energy, when you're already overburdened. Have you ever done that? I'm pretty sure we all have done that. Definitely a normal thing. Doing that, we put ourselves in a really bad position, practically speaking. Saying yes to people just to what? Make them happy? If you've done this, you know how high the cost can be eventually. How much it can hurt. It can be good to say yes, of course, if your yes to others is also service to God. But what happens when your yes to others becomes selfish? So this is where it's kind of like people-pleasing, meaning we're not saying yes to serve God, but we're saying yes to serve ourselves. And I bet this wasn't the Easter sermon you thought you heard or you were going to hear when you came to church today. But I want to share just briefly a little more about how God's yes on Easter can help us learn to say yes when it's right and also to say no when we need to. How Easter teaches us to balance our life in service to our risen Lord and to be honest and even find some time for ourselves. How much of that do you have? Time for yourself. Time to rest and recover so that we can serve God joyfully. So we can give our time, talent, and treasure to the Lord with joy. For the scriptures say, for God loves and a cheerful giver. And we're not talking here now, in case you're wondering, about being lazy or trying to say, well, it's okay to just say no to stuff. I don't have to do anything. No, the scriptures warn us quite severely against that kind of life. It warns us against staring at our screens all day. It warns us against giving our productive hours to that kind of wasteful living. When there's God-given service and responsibility that's there waiting for us. If you're answering God or your neighbor with the answer, no, I'm not going to do that, just to protect those selfish behaviors, then your answer should be yes, and so should mine, to what God's calling us to do. In Thessalonians, the scriptures tell us, if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. And whatever your hands find to do, you should do it with all your heart. But it's amazing to me how many times we struggle so much to say this one tiny little word. No, I'm sorry. I can't do that. Even when we need to. So we reluctantly keep saying yes until we're broken and we're burnt out. And the joy in serving God, we can't find it anymore. It's gone. And as Christians, we fall back so often in this thinking. Jesus teaches us in Matthew chapter 16 that we should be willing to pick up our cross and follow Him. That we should be willing to give up ourselves for the sake of God and neighbor. And we end up getting that twisted up too. See, this text that says, pick up your cross and follow me, this text is not forbidding us rest and recovery. Not at all. It doesn't mean we have to burn ourselves out for Jesus. Even Jesus rested in the gospel accounts. You can find it on the pages of the New Testament that he slept and he went off in solitude and he prayed and he took time away to recover. Do you know why he did that? Because he knew what it meant to say yes to his Father. And so this rest he took, this solitude he sought, it wasn't selfish sin. Even his rest was a yes to God. Resting was part of the cross that he carried throughout his whole life. And it's a part of yours too. That makes us think about what the other things the scriptures say about the Sabbath and resting on the seventh day. Even God rested on the seventh day from all his work on the first six. He took his Sabbath. And it wasn't because God Almighty needed to take a break, like he was out of gas, right? He did it for another purpose, to show us that it's necessary for us. It's our part. It's our yes to him. And it's our yes to our neighbor. Do you know when the Sabbath was fulfilled? When it was finally pointed to its goal and its goal was met? It was yesterday, Holy Saturday, when Jesus rested perfectly in the tomb all day, Holy Saturday. All those rests and Sabbath were pointing to him. When God said, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, it was all about Jesus. And then he rose on Easter to new life, to give us his forgiveness and to give us a new life. He wants us, as he says, to have life and have it abundantly. And this abundant life in Christ includes our rest as well. Even for a bunch of workaholic, overbusy American people. This Easter, I pray that we can rise as well and rise to a life where we're not trying to earn our worth selfishly, always saying yes to everything. Where we can in full confidence even say no and not have a guilty conscience about it. A life where we can see that sometimes saying no to someone is still saying yes to God and yes to the people he's given us to serve. And how can we do that? Look at Easter. Look at the resurrection of Jesus. Look at God's yes to you. He denies himself to say yes to you. So we too can deny ourselves to say yes to him and to others, but only let us be wise. Wise to the fact that we should not let our yeses cause us to neglect those who God has already given us to take care of and serve. If we're already busy serving God and neighbor, then we're free to say no to protect that. Because in that, if we said yes, it would actually only be for ourselves. Look at Easter. God's Easter. His yes was for us. It wasn't for him. So often, all of our yeses, while they appear selfless from the outside, are actually very selfish. We're saying yes for us so we can feel better about ourselves, feel like we're earning something. And if our corresponding no is to those God has already given us to care for. Think about a busy parent for just a second. Someone comes and says, hey, can you do this? Hey, can you do this? And they can't, they don't know how to say no. They'll feel guilty, so they say yes, but who did they just say no to? To their family. Those who God gave them to serve in their vocation. Easter means, if you don't hear anything else I said, hear this. Easter means that you don't have to prove yourself. Not to God. It means Jesus became for you and me what we're all striving to make ourselves into in this crazy spin of life. All by our works, all by our overthought yeses and our unconsidered noes. The cross and the resurrection mean God said yes out of his great love wherewith he loved us. That Jesus himself became our atoning sacrifice. Jesus said yes to being judged in your place. And he's righteous. And he's perfect. And he's holy. So what will the verdict be for us? That. Because Jesus took our place. Easter means that Jesus is the new measurement of you and me. So let us say yes to God. Love those who God has given us to love. Not be lazy, but also not neglect them by saying yes to someone else out of guilt or an inborn deficiency in self-worth. Let us instead see that Easter sets us free. To say yes to God and to live for others and to rest when we need to rest in Christ. Easter lets us keep living joyful as servants our whole life long. Easter. God's yes means we can say yes to God, yes to one another, and sometimes it means it's okay to say no. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now come to the time in our service for our prayer of the church. Our response for our prayers this morning is, hear our prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Holy Lord, mighty God, you have borne the sin of the world and given to us the promise of a new and everlasting life. Receive our thanks for the glorious resurrection of Jesus and bring us with him to the fulfillment of our joy and our resurrection and the reunion of all your saints. Lord, in your mercy, amen. Heavenly Father, you have established the church as the instrument of your saving purpose and endowed us with the gift of your word and sacrament that we might have joy and have it abundantly. Embolden us with the Holy Spirit that we may be renewed in our witness, sustained in any trial, and refreshed through your gifts. Bless those who bring your gifts and preach your word. Give us willing ears to hear and willing hearts to keep this Easter faith. Lord, in your mercy, amen. Give peace, Lord, to our homes and enliven them by Christ's resurrected life. Let the forgiveness of sins reign among husbands and wives, parents and children. Assure those who live alone that they too are your children, upheld by your right hand. Lord, in your mercy, bless Donald, our president, and all who make and administer our laws. Frustrate the forces of evil and do not let our leaders cooperate with them or further their goals. Guard our armed forces as they stand watch for us at home and abroad. Let them serve with honor and dignity. Lord, in your mercy, gracious Lord. Your healing and strength are the hope of all the weary and afflicted. According to your gracious will, give to all the sick and those who are suffering healing and relief. Especially we name before you this morning the family of Jeff Gilmore, Jeff Autopolic, Adam and Andrea, Sandy Cody, Bob Phillips, Larry Reinberger, Susan St. Cyr, Rob Miller, Rupert Gallegos, Ella Gonzalez, Lori Hauser, Donna Ford, Debbie Ford, Carolyn Jury, Betty Gray, Sandy Santa Stephen, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, Frank Rendon, Don Hermanson, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. Lord, grant them patience and hope until that day when they put on new and glorious bodies raised by Christ and receive the end of all afflictions. Lord, in your mercy. Most Holy Father, this is the feast of victory, for the Lamb who was slain has begun his reign. By your Spirit, prepare us to receive his body and blood for the strengthening of our faith in this mortal life. Build in us anticipation for the marriage supper of the Lamb, which we and all the people of God shall feast upon in his kingdom without end. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, Heavenly Father, you have not let your Holy One see corruption, but have raised him in a triumph from the dead, never to die again. Therefore, our hearts are glad and we rejoice, for our flesh also dwells secure. Since you have set him at your right hand, lead us to set his resurrection before us at all times. Let it give us strength, Lord, to serve you in freedom and in grace, not in guilt, that this path of life might be the fullness of joy in his presence. Until we come again, also, to the eternal pleasures at his right hand forevermore. For you, O Father, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, are one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. We come to the time in our service when our offerings are collected and presented. We sing together now stanzas 2 and 4 of hymn 474, Alleluia, Jesus is Risen. If you've been joining us on the radio this morning, we thank you for tuning into our service and wish you a blessed and happy Easter celebration the rest of this day and throughout the season. If you're gathered with us in the sanctuary, we invite you to turn over to page 10 in your bulletin and please rise for the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is
truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. By his death, he has redeemed us from bondage to sin and death. And by his resurrection, he has delivered us into new life in him. Grant us to keep the feast in sincerity and truth, faithfully eating his body given into death and drinking his life's blood poured out for our salvation until we pass through death to the promised land of life eternal. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them saying, drink of it all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
Jesus Christ, true Lamb of God, you faithful Son of God,
Jesus Christ, true Lamb of God.
Thank you for joining our service today at Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa, Colorado. We hope this worship service has been a blessing to you. If you would like to support our ministry, please visit our website by searching Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. On our website, click the link for Apple or Android devices to upload our app to your phone or tablet. Our app has many resources to help you. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you this week.
KSPK, Walsenburg, Alamosa, and Trinidad, Southern Colorado.